Okay, we're starting Tafan al Khalaf Tawa. It says like this, Kalim, Shemushtamshim, who might they are, Kalim that you use right on the fire, to go in Shvudim Askalos, Shvudim Aspit, and Askalos, Rashi says, is a grill. Rashi is a French word, it means a grill. Uchiyot to them, and things that are like that, where you put the food right onto the Kli that's on the fire, Tzrichim, Libun, you have to leave it to them. So this din is really coming from a Gemara. It seems innocent enough that you have to do a leave to these kelim, but really there's a shayla, which is what we're going to talk about, which is like this.
Yeah.
The Gemara asks a mystery between two mishnayos. One mishnah says this din that shudin and askalois need to have leave. That's what one mishnah says. In fact, the Gemara that there's another mission that says there's a mission on Avodah Zarah. In fact, the Gemara that there's a mission in Zvachim, I think it is, that says that those things need only Hagol. That's the Gemara's kasha. The Gemara has a whole bunch of possible answers to that question. That's the Gemara's deal. The Gemara gives a bunch of answers. The answer that we accept halacha is why one says Libun, one says Hagol, is that the spit that was used for kachim was Balei Heter. When you cook the kachim in it, you were allowed to eat those kachim. Meaning for a kohen, you were allowed to eat those kachim. So for him, it was Balei Heter. Therefore, you don't have to do Libun to it. You can catch it by doing Hagolah. And in Avodah Zarah, when you put a treif spit, there it was used for Isser, therefore you have to do Libun. Okay, that's what the Gemara says. By the Gemara's words, therefore you're allowed to do Hagolah instead of Libun. That's what the Gemara says. So before we go on, it's just worth knowing the Chavistah says, where did the Gemara come up with this chiluk? Shouldn't say that. The Gemara is saying the answer of theory and Mishnayos. Where did the Mishnayos come up with such a din that there's a din of Heter Bala? We're going to talk about reasons why Heter Bala is different. But where did they come up with such an idea? So the Chavis Da'at says, maybe there are others who say it also, that it comes from the Pesukim. There's two parshas in the Torah where it talks about Kashrim. One is the parsha of Klei Midyan, where they got Kelim from Goyim, and it says, Kol Davar Sheyavo Be'esh Tavir Be'esh V'Tavir. It says that you have the way you Kashrim something that was used right on the fire is you do leave into it. So it says the din of Libun. The other parsha, which is by Kachim, Kalim that are used for Kachim, he says, if you look in the parsha, it doesn't say a word about Libun. It tells you about Hagolah, and it tells you to have a Klicheris, you should break it. It doesn't say a word about Libun. So from there, the Mishnah is being Medayik, and from the Gemara is explaining that what's the difference between one parsha and the other. Instead of saying that we go in one parsha and the other, we say, no, by Kachim, you never have to do Libun if it was used on the fire, but by Isser, you would have to do. Okay, I should be explaining that the reason why you have to kashrim from kachrim is because tomorrow it's going to be nicer. Today I'm allowed to eat the carbon, tomorrow I'm not allowed to eat it, so tomorrow the bleas that are in there are nicer. So I'm kashriming the kli to get the bleas out so I can use it again for something else. Okay? So the Chavdaz learned that it's a deep from the psukim. That's what the Mishnah is known as, a deep from the psukim. Okay? And there are others who compare this din of Heterabola to the, just in concept, to the din of Nachbarnat. Nachbarnat by Heter, there is a kula of Nachbarnat, and by Issa there is not. Okay, and that's really a shayla in Tafan Beis, what we're saying. That's it. For now, let's say like this. So there's a we're saying over here that the Gemara, there's a machlokes. I'm sorry, the Gemara says that by Heter Bola, if you use direct on the fire, you could do Hagol instead of Libun. The Mishnah Berurah and the Chazon Ish say, and it's others say it as well, that the Gemara that says you can do Hagolah means even after it became nicer. You don't have to do to say that you can do Hagolah on Kalim used for Kachim, you don't have to do it when it's still Heter, you can do it even when it's nicer. The Mishnah Berurah says it, and the Chazon Ish is even clearer. Okay, so we'll see Sfaras in a second. Just for the understanding of that's what he's. Okay. So now. This now, L'inyan, how it comes to Hilchos Pesach, there's a very, large and well known. The Ravid says that the Gemara says if you're Balei Heter, then you, instead of doing Libun, you could do Hagol. So the Ravid says that the reason for that is because when you have a Blia into a Kli, so we're gonna talk it in the way they talk it, whatever this means. Blia, if you cook something in water, the Blia goes into a certain depth into the Kli. Okay, it's absorbed a certain amount, that Hagol takes that out. If you do it with Libun, it's absorbed even deeper into the Kli. This is the kind of words that he uses. It goes even deeper into the Kli. So those deeper Blias, you have to do Libun to get those to get rid of those deeper Blias. So he says, the little bit of Blias.
You're burning it out. You're not extracting it. You're
burning
it out.
Yes, that's correct. You are burning it out. Yes, right. You're right about that. but you're in, it's different. I just need to get rid of it in one way or the other.
Right.
So those bleeds that are in the deeper level, the amount that gets for leaving, that deeper amount is does not. If the blea was heter, then those little bit of bleas don't make a difference. Okay? It doesn't explain exactly why. It says the deeper amount that would go in only through Libra, at that lower level, if it went in as heter, that doesn't cause a problem. It doesn't clearly explain what the issue is. But he does say is, it only depends on how it went in. If it went in as heter, if I remember he says it as that, if the bleas that went in as heter, they went in mutter, and I don't remember how he says it. But he's clear that it just depends on what it is when it went in. And he says, therefore, if you would have, not only would it be by kachim, but he has other cases. If you have meat, or kosher milk, or chametz, then it would be considered heter. I cook chametz in a pan. I made toast in my toaster. The bleah went in right on the fire. But the bleah that went in was heter. I'm allowed to use chametz now. Just like I'm allowed to use kachim on the day that you shot through the carpet. So it went in as heter, and therefore you could get it out with hagol. That's what the writer holds. The Ramban and many other Rishonim asked a lot of kashas on him, and some from various Gemaras even, all kinds of kashas they asked on him, and they learn like this. It doesn't depend if it went in as heter. It's that once the bleas that are deep in can't change their status. They're too small, it's like a pachas mikashir, it's too small to change status. So if it went in as kachim, it can't turn into nicer when it's in there. It went in as basar, it can't turn into basar b'chola. That little bit that's in the deeper level, that only goes in from libun, that goes in through direct fire, that part that goes deeper in can't change status. So it can't become from kachim into nicer. It can't go from basar into basar b'chola. But if it goes in and doesn't have to change status, then it becomes usher without changing status, then it stays. Then it can usher. Meaning, if you have chametz, if I made toast in my toaster today, The chametz that's in there is chametz already today. Just today happened to be allowed to eat chametz. When it comes to Pesach time, I'm not allowed to eat it. So nothing had to change in the status of the bleah that's in there. So since nothing had to change in the status, it went in as chametz, and it didn't have to change, it stayed chametz, then that kli would need libun because I have to get those bleahs out because there's chametz in there. If I put kachim into there, I'm allowed to eat kachim. I'm just not allowed to eat nicer. It never changes into nicer. It doesn't change. The things that are deep in don't change in. The things that are not so deep in, the things that go into our goals do change. But the little bit that gets on the bottom, that doesn't change. So he holds that, according to the Ravid, the din of heter bala means that for chametz also, if you use them directly on the fire, you don't have to do libun. Okay, so you can catch your toaster with hagol. According to the Ravid. So the Mechaber, who's saying this din here in Hilchos Pesach, who's saying that you have to, if you use a shvut, use a spit for right on the fire, you have to do libun, is because he's passing like the Ramban. See, like most Rishonim are passing like the Ramban, that if, even if chametz is not considered heter, chametz is considered isser, because when it went in, it was already chametz, and therefore, if you use a kli for directly on the fire, for chametz, you have to do libun to it. Okay, that's what is going on here in this din, which seems at first glance, you say, of course you have to do libun. Really, he's passing like the Ramban, and those Rishonim that there's that chametz is not considered heter. Okay, now, it's worth noting, we'll see in a different week, the Ramah is mitzaref the Ravid in certain cases, and the Mishnah, in certain cases we will be samach on the Ravid that chametz is heter, and the Mishnah Berurah says if a person by mistake used a kli, they had done hagol instead of libun, and then they used it on Pesach, b'makom hefsed meruva, and b'makom that is ani b'nyomer, which is usual anyhow, and a whole bunch of things that you could also be making on be samach on the Ravid. The Ravid that we're saying would not pass on the Ravid, in certain cases, we'll see the Ramah and the Mishnah Berurah himself is mitzaref it to other things. Okay, so it's worth knowing what it's negated to is that if the kli was used directly on the fire, that you really have to leave it to kasher. If you just did hagolah, you can get away with less, and you don't have to do you. The Rav would hold you did enough to kasher. We'll have other. We have real from the Ramah. We'll have real nafkaminis to the sheet of the Rav. Okay, we're not going to get that today. It's worth noting, but there's another type of kli that needs libun. We said the kind of kli that needs libun is a kli that you use directly on the fire. Right? This is what we're talking about. You use a shvut. You put the toast or the steak right onto the fire, right onto the kli. That's right over the fire. That's over the fire. But there's another kind of kli that needs. There's another kind of kli that needs libun, and that is there's another kli which is a kli cheres. There, if you use a kli cheres, you need libun not because you use directly on the fire. Even if I cook up a put hot product into a kli cheres, I need to make hot libun also. That there is no kula for heter bala from cheres. Okay, so the cool of heter bol only means that if you did it directly on the fire, you don't have to leave when you could do hagol. But if you did heter on a klicheres, everyone agrees that you have to leave one. And not only does everybody say that, but of course, the chavos says what? Well, so the question is, should you say, well, just like hagola takes it. We say that the blia that hagola takes out from something used directly on the fire takes out so much of the blia that what's left is not a problem. So we say for cheres also, hagola should take out so much that what would be left would be mutter also if it was a terrible. But some bleas come out. So should we maybe say the same thing? So you could think that just like by Liban, if you use directly on the fire, you have to Liban to get it all out, and Hagol doesn't work. But Hetera, Hagol does work. So maybe here also Hagol should work. So it does.
What's the Chal of Shani Ramban? He's saying it doesn't change status.
Yes, okay.
So then, why does it do Hagolah at all?
Because it's only the deep parts that don't change status. I mean, the little bit that's so deep in that only can come out with Liban, that little bit doesn't change status. But the main blia, the blia that's more in the bulk of the blia, which is the blia that comes out with Hagolah, that can change status.
Interesting.
Yes, yeah, I can't tell you what that means. I mean, we're using the words that they use to talk about deeper in and less deep in. I don't know what that means.
Maybe a cliche is that Hagolah doesn't get out enough at all.
Right. No, I'm saying, so you might think it, but the thing is that it's not true. And if you think about it for a second, the Chavetah is obvious. The Chavetah says this whole thing of a terrible came from the Pesukim, that the Pesukim by Kachim don't say anything about leaving. Well, the Pesukim by Kachim say, Klicheres and Shetavusha. What does it say? It says, the Imba Klicheres Bushola, Umorak Bushuta Fabayim. It says, if you use a Klicheres, no, I'm sorry. So that's for a different process. I'm sorry. But it says, maybe it doesn't say. Okay, anyhow. I take it back what I'm saying. Okay. Anyhow, so that's accepted that it does. This thing doesn't work for Hagolah. That doesn't work for Klicheres. Now back to something we talked earlier about last week. This is related to this thing like this. Well, Vosner says like this. He brings from some Rishonim that the amount of blia, this thing that we're talking about, that there's the Hagolah amount of blia, and then on the bottom there's like a deeper amount that only has to come out through Liban. He says he brings some of Ritva. That blia is so minuscule that it's not enough to even be nice and tam into the food. Okay, that blia, the main blia, is a nice sizable blia that would be nice and tam. That little blia is such a minuscule blia, it's not going to be nice and tam. So, Frechter draws the obvious question. He says, well, wait a second. And Rav Asa elaborates on this, and he brings it sort of from prim level. He says, wait a second. If the blia is so little, what are you taking it out for altogether? Who cares? Let's leave the blia in there. Why do you have to get blias out altogether? If the little bit that only comes out through Liban is such a little bit that it can't be nice enough, who cares? Who needs this blia out? Who has to get the blia out altogether? To which he says, surprise, surprise, the Ritva says, the Torah teach, when the Torah says that you have to leave Liban, it's teaching us something like this. It's saying, if the blia that went in originally was enough to be nice and tam, then you must remove every speck of that blia. You have to remove every drop of the blia. You can't just remove enough to not be nursing time. Once there was enough, there's a question. Once there was enough to be nursing time originally, you have to remove all of it, even the amounts that would not be nursing time.
How about Enabin Yermin?
So that's it. How about if it's Enabin Yermin?
No. What had the Enabin Yermin? It's also being Hashem.
Okay, good question. I'm not sure. Okay, it's a fair question.
What do you mean? It's Tzadik Tzadik
Tzadik. No, so he said, so if we have a din...
It's a lot of blia, but it's Tzadik Tzadik Tzadik. So, it's only important because...
No. But if it's Exeris of Kosovo, that once the blia goes in, you must remove it out. And aside from the rules of Tam Ki'ikr, aside from the fact that the Tam will make your food trade, you have to have a separate reason, you have to get it out, so why don't I have to get it
in? You have to leave the Tam Ki'ikr, you have to leave the Tam
Ki'ikr. Okay, maybe. Okay.
But why would it have to kill you? Why would it have to kill you?
So wait, so this is what the Ritva says. It's a Xerish HaKosu, the din of leaving is a Xerish HaKosu, that even if you have a blia, if you had a blia that was originally enough to be nice in Tam, then you have to get it the whole blia, even the part that was not, that's not going to be nice in Tam. Okay, now, this would explain, answer his question, which was, we asked last when we talked about it, how could it be then that if there's rust on a cleat, you have to take the rust off and take it out, how much blia could it be under the rust? A little bit of blia. Why don't we say that, like the Rebbe Shefa said, why don't we say that it's Asul Shtamish B'Shefa? That little bit of blia that's under there will be Asul Shtamish B'Shefa. Okay, well, according to the Torah, we have an answer. Because there's a difference. Also, the Shtamash B'Shefa means that the original bliya that went in was not enough to ask for the food. The whole bliya in this whole kli is not enough that could ever ask for the food. So if the bliya that went in there originally is not enough to ask for the food, then you don't have to take it out. The Ritva says it clear. When the bliya that went in originally was enough to ask for the food, then you have a chiyus kedat every last little bit. But if the bliya that went in originally was not enough to ask for the food, it was such a small bliya, so then you, then it, that's the rule of us in the Shamash B'Shefa.
Okay, the bliya of Tashmish B'Shefa also is enough to ask for the food. That is to put so much in.
In this pot, no, but in this pot, there isn't a way that this could ever ask for. So I never got like started into the parish of Havos Kelim, so I don't have to do anything. But once I get started, the rules are now, you have to, you would think you only have to get a certain amount of bliya. The third time, you have to get up the whole bliya. Okay, so this is what he says, and that would answer, the only problem with it is, it would answer the theory between the din of also the Shamash B'Shefa and the din of Rus. It would answer the theory, there's only one problem. It would put Rabbi Belsky on the wrong side of the din, because Rabbi Belsky was saying it even in the case where there was a full bliya, you really did have the kasha. There was just one spot that you didn't have the kasha. Okay, but it's worse than that. Okay, which this
was last week.
This was last week. Yeah. So this would put Rabbi Belsky. It would answer the stira, putting Rabbi Belsky on the wrong side of the answer. The only thing is, I have to tell you is that Rabbi Belsky says, even though he says this from the Ritva, the Prima Gadim he brings. That the Prima Gadol says beferish that this is not true. He says, I forgot the word, I think it says Zeshibush or something like that. He doesn't mean the Ritva. He says, but it's not true. The Ritva is assuming that the amount of bleed that's left on the bottom, you know, the part that only Liban can get out, is so little that it won't be noise in top. The Prima Gadol says, that's not true. No, the amount of bleed that's in it would make the food trace. Maharaya, what's the din if you forgot, if you did only Hagol to a Kli that needs Liban? What's the din? You had a Kli that needs Liban, you did only Hagol, and then you used the Kli. What's the din?
But
the food is safe. The din is, many say, according to the Ritva, the din should be is that the food should be kosher. But yet the food should be kosher. He said, it's not true. The din is safe. So he said, so it's not true. And guess what? Not only does the Supreme Garden say it, not only does the Ravosan agree that the Supreme Garden says it, Ravosan says there's loads of Rishonim who say that also. Okay, so Ravosan is trying to say you could maybe be samech on that, maybe it could be samech on the Ritva, the Mokav Hesed and things like that. He's bringing it to say there is such a sheep as Rishonim. He wants to say that it's not a absurdity. Okay, but to say that so again, we're coming back to the same thing, which is this idea that that there may be a chiyuv to kasher or kli beyond the dinim of tam kicker. I mean, even if the tam that's in there can't trafe up your food, you have stam, you have a din, you have to kasher or kli anyhow. You might be mechuyev to continue the kashering until you get it all out. Is And we're seeing again, there is such an idea, but it seems to be coming out on the wrong side. It's coming out as the Rishonim that are not accepted by Halacha, rather than the main sheetahs that we would accept. Okay, one more thing, which is like this. The Magen Avraham says over here, and it's really almost a beferish in Shulchan Aruch later, and you remember we spoke about that the case where the Eladik Hashem from Milchuk to Fleshik. Where you let it kasha back and forth from milchuk to fleshik. Well, that din, the mechaber, is talking about that you're doing leibun kal to the kalim to go from milchuk to fleshik. That was the question revolved around the mechaber who's talking about leibun kal. And the Magen Avraham says here, based on that din, and based on what we're saying, that if a kli is milchuk and you want to make it fleshik, so the bliya into the kli was hetera. Right? You only absorb milk or only absorb meat into the kli. So if you have a kli that absorbed meat right on the fire, you have a fleshiga broiling pan. Okay? You use it for meat, kosher meat used on it. So the bliya was hetera. You want to kasher this kli. You don't need to do libum. It's really a gemara. The gemara says by hetera bala, if it was hetera, it was cooked in a kli, right on the fire. You don't have to do libum. You can do habo. So the Magen Avraham says it over here, Rabbi Kvig says it over there, and it's a preparation that really shows now. It doesn't say the word straight out, but it's just basically in there. Because the Gemara says that Kachem is hetero. We have a machlokes whether Chometz is hetero. And we pass the Chometz is not hetero. Okay. But milk and meat, kosher milk and kosher meat are hetero. So this is a very common question, which is a person took their frying pan, their fleshing of frying pan, by mistake they made cheese in it. Or the other, they took a milk pan and they made meat into it. Okay, so the people look at it, the first assumption is you look and you say, wait a second, it's a frying pan. Frying pan used right over the fire, you have to leave them. You can't leave them, it's not practical, so you have to throw it out, which is what you would say for Pesach. You have a frying pan, you can't kasher it, so you can't use it for Pesach. But the truth is that it's not like that. If you have a flesh of a frying pan and it was used when it was ain't a binyan, right, for milk hooks, so it's not basar b'chol, There's no blias abas b'chol in this pan. The pan is fleishig, and the pan is milchigs. It was used on Sunday for meat. You make
blias abas bread.
So you made a breaded schnitzel on Sunday. So now the pan has blias of meat in it. Then on Wednesday you went ahead and you made something with cheese in it. Okay, you made an egg with cheese in it in the same frying pan. So now this pan is not b'chol b'chol. Because it was ain't a binyan, the meat was ain't a binyan by the time the blias of meat were ain't a binyan by the time you did the milk. So it has blias of basar, it has blias of chalav, and they were in ways that are right on the fire, but it doesn't need libun, it needs hagolah. Because both of those things are heter. You can't use it for either. You can't use it for milk because it has fleishig blias. You can't use it for, I don't know which one I said. You can't use it the other way either. It has both blias in it. But if you want to do hagolah to it, that's fine. You can kasher it by doing hagolah because the blias went in as heter. So blias of heter that are directly on the fire can be taken out with hagolah. So a frying pan like that can be kashered with hagolah. Okay. So if people have called like that, when they have to just remind them, even though you could do hagolah today, you can't do this if it becomes certain kinds of shape or for Pesach. You know what I mean? People just say, oh, I was told I cast it like this. Okay. But so that's in a home where the milk and the meat are kosher. Okay. But when you move to a factory, the kind of case is like a belt or a baking tin that you put the food right onto it. Usually, we're kashing not because it's kosher, we're kashing because it was treif. Okay, so there, if it was treif, you need to have libun. I mean, usually you can't kash it. But there's a very specific shaila, which you're probably familiar with. I'll talk it out to explain one part of it, which is like this. Lots of the things that we kasher from are from milchigs to paros, in companies from milchigs to paros. So the company, we certify both the milchigs and the paros. But today they're making muffins that are dairy, and tomorrow they want to make muffins that are parf. So the question is, the milk that's in there is not just milchigs. It's not just a question of it being milchigs and fleishigs, that milk is heter. There's another question, which is that the milk is chol stam. And there are people who are going to eat our parf product, people who will buy the parf product who don't eat chol stam. For the people who eat chol stam, so there's no issue of chol vakum, they eat it, they hold it smother. As far as the milchigs of it, milchigs is heter, and you can kasher with hagolah, with libun kal. You don't need to do libun to it. You can kasher like that, because as far as they're concerned, there's nothing wrong with the figs. But what about the other person who only eats, who doesn't eat chol stam? So for him, how should we judge this pan that has to be kasher now?
We don't care.
What do you say?
We don't care.
You don't care what?
We don't care about that person.
You don't care about that
person. That's the way it is in all organizations. Well, okay. Why are you only asking about this? Then you could ask about 212 walls, though.
That what?
The people are makbid on 212, and they get an item that says on it parv. How do they know that it was, maybe it was kosher?
Okay, good. So
the organizations don't care across the board.
Can I say it a little softer than we don't care? Not that we don't care. It's that, I'm going to say it a little softer. This is one position, which is a hashgacha has to pass him lots of shilas. They have to make decisions about how to do things. They can't possibly, it would be ridiculous to say we should be machmir about everything. Or put a long tefillin on the side of the candy bar of all the shilas that went into it. So we have to pass on certain shilas. So the hashgacha passed on some shilas. And you have to accept it as if you're eating our hashgachas because you're willing to accept that we pass on the shilas the way that it's good for you. So just like we pass on the chol stam heter, and we therefore will pass in that Indian kashrut, we can kashrut on that level also. As if the chol stam was heter, we can kashrut on that. That's one attitude. Okay? I think it's a little soft to think we don't care about them. It's that we had to make a decision, and the decision was this way. This one is not even a secret. You know we certify lots of chol stam, so we make that decision. That's what we do. That's one thing. Rabadovsky has a very different position. He says, no, hashgachos don't take a position on whether chol stam is mutter. We're not taking a position. We service the whole community. We service some people who want chol stam by giving them chol stam. We service some people who want not chol stam by giving them chol yisrael or by giving them pyro foods. We service lots of different groups of people. So when we service the people with chol stam, we give them to their standard. When we service the people who want, chol yisrael, or they want pyro that's not chol stam at all, we have to use a different standard. So those people, when we service them, the hashgacha hasn't taken a position. Hashgacha is neutral about the question of chol stam. They let everybody know that when we write OUD, it's like writing, CRCD, we're writing OUD, chol stam. And everybody knows that it's like an open secret that that's what it is, and therefore we're just helping those people. We haven't taken a position on that job. Great. That's what he says.
But that's not the question. The question is when it says CRC or OU.
Right.
Others,
so he's saying it's your thing is.
Then we don't know what's going on behind it.
Right. So you. One way of looking at it was that the CRC took a position that Chol Stam is mutter, and then we can use that position even when we deal with the power of the product. And he says, no, we never took a position on that issue. We didn't take any position. We just hold. We helped some people by providing them with Chol Stam without officially making a decision that Chol Stam is mutter. Okay, now.
Going back to the belts, so you say that the belts, in the case of Libun, you can't do it, so what do you do in the company?
So, as a rule, the belt that goes through the fire, through the oven, and it has direct contact with the food, has to be replaced.
Has to be replaced.
Yeah.
There
is such a thing as kashrut doing Libun to them. It's not realistic. Maybe we'll talk about that a different time. There is a way to possibly do it, but basically it's not possible. So it's only for the belt that goes through the fire.
And then if there's hetera, then you could do hagala.
Or Libun Kal.
Could you do hagala to belt?
Yeah, sure you could. It's easier to hagala to belt. And Libun Kal is even easier. Running through the oven, if you do it right, just running the belt through the oven might do Libun Kal.
Uh-huh.
So if we say your way, which is we decided that Chol Stam is heter, right, so then we have it easy. It'll be easy to cash this thing. We didn't make that decision. Now, to which Rabbi Shapton says, what are you talking about? You didn't make the decision that Chol Stam is heter. We certify tens of thousands of products at Chol Stam. We didn't take a position. He says, we take positions on 100 other things. Like you said, we passed them 1,000 other shilas. So you think that we didn't, by passing 1,000 other shilas, why is this shilas different than any other? Just because this one is public. So people happen to know about this, and there's a way to know whether I'm getting the shilas or not. I can know if it says D or if it doesn't, whether I'm getting the shilas.
I think Rebelsky means that, and this I think is the main issue, and that most people will not be aware, if somebody's not going to be called so, who's going to think, hey, it's part, it's good for me. It's not the foursome that you might have a problem with part if you only called yourself. Totally not foursome, if you want to be a foursome and change your vote, fine. But right now, everybody's going to claim it that it's okay.
Well, there's not a
way
to do that. And you just have not to know the other one. But if you know, you know your
name. No, but he's saying is here, this is something that I do know that I don't want to eat those foods that have the D on it, because I know I don't want to eat that food. So you've tricked. So Yossi is
my. I'm thinking now on a popular child that says, you know, too bad. You have to be done with something on the hexer. But these people don't want to be done. They say, I want to be makbar al chalakim. With all the whole other, there's all the chalakim. So you can't.
So
people don't know.
So Yossi is machab.
But check 212, you know. The minute people understand now, it doesn't say this well.
It is not.
It's okay. But they're right on the kosher of 212.
So Yossi is machab.
So people eat 212. No, they can't assume that it's, you know, anything.
So Yossi is machab. Rabbi Shechta says, even though he holds that the OU did paskin, and they really hold that Chol Stam is heter, he's like, what kind of a joke to say that we don't hold the Chol Stam is mutter? He says it's like a joke, but he says, we're misleading the public. The public who buys powerful products thinks that they're getting not the OU Chol Stam stuff, they're getting the OU things that are not Simachon the Kul of Chol Stam. They're bedafka buying it. So not off the din of the Hagol's Kalem of it, but because we're misleading the person by giving him food that he doesn't expect to eat. But he doesn't know your thing. He doesn't know about tartaric acid. We didn't mislead anybody. He is uninformed. He asks us for food. We give him food. What we think is mutter. We don't have to explain to him everything because he can know. But here he knows that he doesn't want the food, so we're misleading him by giving him something that's made the wrong standard. Now,
this is Rabbi Shechta.
But Rabbi Shechta says like this. You're going to laugh when I explain to you what's going on here. Ramosha says like this. If a kli is ain't a binyomi, and you cook food in a kli that's ain't a binyomi that was never kashered, Ramosha says that food is mutter l'chatchila. It's not mutter b'dieved. If you put a drop of isser into food, it's mutter b'dieved because the isser is bottle. If I use a kli that's ain't a binyomi, the food is mutter l'chatchila. Just that you have an isser on you, you're not allowed to use a kli that's in a binyamah. It's the gzeir, the chazal said, don't use kli that are in a binyamah because you might by mistake use them in the binyamah. So you have an isser to not use the kli. But the food has nothing to do with the food. The food is kosher l'chatchila to eat that food. So the store owner or the hashkocha has a responsibility to kosher the kli. That's we're the ones who he has to do it, and we are the surrogates to take the responsibility to make sure that it's done. So we have a responsibility to kashrut the kli, but the food, if it's ain't a binyamah, it's kashrut. So Rabbi Shechta says, if we have a kli that was used for, we made milchugah cookies on it, an oven belt that uses milchugah cookies, and we wait for that belt to be ain't a binyamah, If we make parv cookies on that belt now, the cookies are kosher l'chatchila. The people who eat nachol stam, they can eat it l'chatchila. We're giving them food that's kosher l'chatchila. We're doing our responsibility to them to give them food that's kosher l'chatchila. Now, we have to answer for ourselves. Hey, you can't use that belt without kashering it. We can't let the owner use that belt without kashering it. This is now a personal responsibility. The owner and we as his overseers have to have responsibility to make sure that he kashers his belt. You're not allowed to use belt without kashering. Okay, we collectively, as the Hashkafa say, we hold that Chol Stam is Heter. It's just milk. There's no Isser involved in this thing. We, to satisfy our responsibility to kasher, we will kasher with as a Teira belt. So if the Kli is Ein Ben Yomim, then, to the consumer, we're not misleading anybody. We're giving them food that's kosher l'chatchila. And as far as our responsibility, we've done our responsibility by doing the hagol or leaving cup.
So now, what do we do? So by a belt, you're just wasting stuff in your
by a belt that's from milk, not a belt that's safe. A belt that was milked,
right.
Well, Rabbi Shem, so we'll tell you that. As Rabbi
Shem. And Ein Ben Yomim also with trace, then?
No. Because if it's Ein Ben Yomim from trace, then the food is kosher l'chatchila, but we haven't done our responsibility to kosher the belt. We have to kasher. You can't kasher a belt with Haggalah.
It's
Yisurabala. But if the belt was Balea, what we consider to be Heter, because it's called Stam, we consider it to be Heter. So our responsibility is to kasher as Heter can be kasher with Haggalah, or with Liman Kal. But if it was Balea.
You're saying that for the consumer it's okay.
It's kasher l'chatchila. So we wait for the belt to be.
Even with Yisurah. For the consumer.
It would be kasher l'chatchila. Yes. The food would be. Yes. Yes. The food would be kasher
l'chatchila. Right. Yes. That answers the 212 issue also. Was just kasher one night. As long as we're making sure it's Ein Ben Yomim.
If
the consumer, it's okay.
If it's Ein Ben Yomim. If it's Ein Ben Yomim. No, see, because there are people who will do 190 to do a pekima also. First, they'll use it. There'll be 2 hours to shape the kosher.
Pekima doesn't work though.
Right. So that's that's not as clear cut. Now I have to just say, so Rabbi Shapta is quoted as saying that since we hold Holstein is Heter, therefore you can kasher with Liban Kal, or Takal or such a belt. That's not really what he said. He doesn't say that you can kasher it. He says you have to wait for it to be Ein Ben Yomim and then you can kasher it. Because he's not ignoring the people who want the Chol Stam. He's not saying we don't care about you. Right? He's not saying that. He says we want to make sure we don't want to mislead you. So he actually says either it has to be Ein Ben Yomim and then have Liban Kal, or for his purposes he says you can do Liban Kal and then be Ein Ben Yomim. Now, for example, the company works 5 days a week. Okay, on Friday, when they finish production, they can do Liban Kal and then not produce until Monday. Because what he needs is it has to be Ein Ben Yomim, it's that the guy who's eating the power products who wants not Chol Stam can eat that food. That's what he wants. Okay, so now, I'm sorry if I'm missing.
What does they do, in fact, do?
As a rule, they follow Rabbi Shechter on this. But there are people who have asked the question or rebels you who therefore will not do that. Okay, but as a rule, they do follow Rabbi Shechter on that.
So if the RC keeps Chol Yisrael,
yes.
Is he...
No.
Is he allowed to do this?
Yes, because the RCs, for better or for worse, see themselves as representatives of the organization. They do what the organization wants. I have to tell you something.
No, that's actually the organization's one.
That's correct. That's correct. It's Sean's name's on the paper, not mine. Okay, so now.
He keeps telling me, sir, I don't know what to do.
Okay, now, I have to tell you something. I forgot to mention that within the. This is just a side point, and I have one last thing to say is that within the people who don't eat Chol Stam, okay, there's two different groups of people. Okay? Many of the people who don't eat Chol Stam say the din is that this food is kosher. That's the din. But it's a mila to not eat Chol Stam. And Moshe says himself, found that for Jachman and not eat this food. They personally see that as Heter.
Shaila might be awesome.
What?
Because there's a Shaila.
Yes, and therefore found that for Shaila. For example, Rav Henkin says that a person who doesn't eat Chol Stam can eat from the kelim of somebody who doesn't eat Chol Stam. Okay? So it's a that's how some people's attitude is that I don't eat it, but I don't think that it's straight. I don't as a paskin as straight. But that's my so these people wouldn't even have their shaila altogether. They really hold, so to speak, in din that it's mutter. And then there's a different group of people who hold that no, it's a mistake to think that it's mutter, and it's really usher, completely usher. Okay, they're the people who we're talking about. Those group of people is what we're talking about.
I mean, I did call Akim Akim's case. If it's also the kingdom, also for sure.
So that's just making me think that it's really minadin, it's mutter, and it's a hakpada, it's a, you don't have to take it to that extent to even ask the kingdom. That's what he's saying.
No, I don't know if I
think. As long as company, right, the maker doesn't have to pass it all together, like the
yes,
right.
Why? Because Tom killing in the vineyard?
No.
Because he doesn't have the exact of halal of any vineyard of Yemen.
That's this tshuva. This tshuva that says that. That's the shoe where he says any vineyard is kosher chatzila, and therefore it's just on the corner.
That's kosher by itself.
Yes.
And therefore, the vineyard doesn't have to count. It's not the mechul at all, right? And now you have the shayla with the bichlal thing is also. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So by next you have to kosher
also. One last thing I have to say. It's just. This is not a question. It's just interesting to note, which is, I just told you that Rabbi Shechter says since. When Eina Bin Yomer, the food is kosher l'chatzila. Therefore, if it's Eina Bin Yomer, you can do this whole ches, and you can do kosher as hetera. Okay. Well, that itself is not something that everybody would agree to. So the Hashgacha is taking a position on that. They're taking a position to accept what Ramosha says, that it's clear that Eina Bin Yomer, the food is kosher l'chatzila, not that it's kosher b'di yomer. Because the food is kosher l'chatzila, that's not a obvious thing. Not everybody agrees to that. So, not there's something wrong with that. I'm just saying, it's just funny. Here we're saying we're trying to satisfy everybody's purposes, and here's an example right here in the middle of the story that by no means are we going to satisfy everybody. There are people who will not be satisfied.
I don't have a name.
I'm not saying this as a kasher, because it's of course that the hashkafas have to take positions on things. It's just interesting to note that right here in the middle of our saying, we don't want to too much push a position on people, and they should get what they get. But really, it's Rabbi Shechter's not looking at it like that. He's looking at it after the people believe, like you said, they look at it and say, I don't want Kol Stam, I want to buy the stuff that's not Kol Stam. They think that they're getting not Kol Stam, so for that, we have to address what they think they get. Okay?
Yeah.